The scripture I wish to read to you today, friends, is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this is the charge of God. This is Paul giving Timothy his charge from God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's the charge to Timothy at the just after the time of Christ in the first century AD. Nothing's changed. In the book of Judges, where we will be spending most of the time today, it was the same thing. They turned away their ears from the truth and they turned unto fables. The fables of Baal worship is what they turned unto. And as we begin our study, our three-part study of the person of Gideon, I have felt a growing impression from the Lord that I needed to take a chunk of time, maybe 10 or 12 minutes here this morning, to introduce you to Canaanite religious practices. Because without that background, it's hard for you to understand what the Israelites are up against. It becomes a vague sort of a thing that you wouldn't really put together. In doing this, I've been very impressed by the fact that one can't go too far with this, but one needs to go far enough. It's gaining that balance in this thing, because basically, Baal, the religion of the Canaanites and Baal worship is disgusting. And I'm going to give you this in the best way that I possibly can. Baal is one of the earliest deities recognized by the peoples of the ancient Near East. And they recognize the creator god, El, E-L. And you'll notice that the name El is in front of many of Yahweh's names, El Shaddai, as an example. It basically means God. In the deity of Baal, it claims that Baal had a mistress, who was the fertility goddess Asherah. And Asherah gave birth after sexual union with El, gave birth to many gods, including the powerful god Baal, which is a word which simply means Lord or Master. There appears to have been only one Baal, who was manifested as lesser Baals in different places and different times. Over the years, Baal became the dominant deity and the worship of El pretty much faded and fizzled out. So you don't hear about that in the historical records. Baal is accredited with defeating a whole series of other Baals and a whole series of other gods. And in doing so, became the god of the sea. He became the god of storms, rain, thunder, and lightning. And he became the god who won over death. It's interesting that his winning over of death came as a result of dying and being resurrected from the dead. You see, people, all of this is about Satan. All of this is about Satan mimicking and copying the God of heaven. And way back in the way, way back in the very beginning of human history, Adam and Eve in the garden, and Satan in the form of a snake deceived Adam, deceived Eve at least, and Adam deliberately sinned. And God said to the to Satan, you shall, I'm going to raise up a redeemer. You shall bruise his heel, but he will crush your head. A fatal injury. And Satan, from that moment forward, Satan opposed everything that God did, and he attacked the people of God, and he is still attacking the people of God today to prevent them from following faithfully after Yahweh. And we'll see some of that at the end of today's message, right at the very end. I've got some things to share with you that will shock you. The Canaanites attributed their well-being to all these to all these different Baals, and they built altars to Baal. And wherever there was an altar to Baal, there was what's called an Asherah pole, and we'll deal with that in just a moment. Baal is always portrayed as a man with the head and horns of a bull, so the two big horns coming out, always with at least one hand raised. Now, just watch. See that? Think Osama bin Laden. Always, when he spoke, pointing up with two fingers like that. Baal worshipper. It has its roots in Baal worship, holding your hand up like that. And the image of Baal was holding up that hand. Today you see people doing this. Don't ever do that. This is a universal signatory of satanic ownership. And you ought not to do it yourself, and you certainly ought to be dismissive of those who do. It's not just a funny thing for teenagers to do. Satan doesn't change his attack. Satan just simply morphs. He's a cultural enemy, and he morphs into culture by culture by culture with the same garbage that we see in Canaan when the Israelites made it into the land. Now, Asherah was honored as the fertility goddess in various forms and with various names. The Bible doesn't actually describe the goddess, but archaeologists have discovered figurines believed to be representations of her. She's always portrayed as a naked female, sometimes pregnant, with exaggerated breasts that she props up and points them out towards people, and apparently as symbols of the fertility she promises her followers. The Bible indicates that she worshipped, she was worshipped near trees and structured poles. Think totem poles. Poles that have been erected with faces that have been, and images that have been carved onto that pole. Demonic symbolism carved into that pole. This is Asherah. Now, we'll try and be as tasteful as possible with a terribly distasteful process, but an Asherah pole finds its history in the Egyptian obelisk. The Egyptian obelisk is actually a four-sided vertical vertically oriented structure that is represented as a phallic symbol. And for those of you who don't understand that term, it is a representation of the erect male penis, and it has everything to do with fertility for obvious reasons. That began in Egyptian history. That began in Egyptian history and found its way across the Nile in the area, in the Canaanite areas, and wherever there was an altar raised to Baal, very nearby there would be an Asherah pole. And this will become important to understand what this is and what it represents, because in Baal worship, you have to understand that the Jews left Egypt and they wandered in the desert. They wandered in a gibber desert. It's just rocks and dust and stones and, you know, a horrible, very unpalatable, very unpleasant environment. And they wandered in this environment for 40 years. And God met their every need during this time as they wandered. God provided for them in every imaginable way. He accompanied them, he protected them, he fed them, he guided them to the promised land. There was no doubt in their mind that Yahweh was the God of the wilderness. But when they crossed the Jordan, they came into a land not of shepherds, but a land of farmers. And the land they came into was fertile, literally beyond belief. And and the people of the land attributed that agricultural wealth to Baal. And Baal was the god of the sea. And one of the things that attracted the Israelites was the fact that they saw the sea as being evil. They saw everything about the sea as being evil because they were desert nomads by the time they got to the promised land. So if a god could control the sea and the storms and the rain, then maybe he was a god more powerful in that land than Yahweh. And some people went holus bolus over to that. Others tried to blur the two together and merge the two together into a polytheistic religion, and the nation of Israel went badly astray. That's the background to this. The situation with the crops and the agriculture was in representing Baal. They worship Baal and Asherah because of the fertility of the land, and they understood that the fertility of the land and the raising of their crops and their vegetables, etc., and their cattle, that their well-being was related to rain. And so when they began ready to start their crops, they had the cultic belief that Baal was active when rain was happening and when storms were happening and when the harvest was on. And then when the harvest was over, Baal descended into the depths of Hades and fell asleep. And the only way they could waken him was to go to the temples of Baal and to go to the worship, what they call the high places, where they went to high places, raised places where there was Baal worship, and commit acts of public, open public sexual depravity. And in having and in performing acts of sexual depravity, they felt that stirred up and awoke Baal, and he would come and bring the rain. And this was a cycle that they went through. And believe it or not, that's what the Jews were attracted to. I'm going to tell you some more things about this, but in the context of the message. I just wanted to take some time today, a few minutes today, to share with you what Canaanite idolatry is. It has been, and it is a satanic cult. It is satanic from top to bottom. and it is designed to be culturally relevant, have cultural relevance, which we will see today. And it was designed to deceive people and to keep people from the faithful worship of Yahweh. And today it's designed, number one, to keep people from coming to faith in Christ. And number two, it's designed to disable people's testimony once they come to Christ. That is the plan of Satan, and he's very effective in bringing that about.